someone unseen tore the veil that separated man from God, telling us that God came out to where man is. And sin is no more a problem. So a sinner, a prostitute, a tax collector can be in the presence of Jesus and still not drop dead. This is the new covenant. This is grace. This is grace. But yet many Christians, many religious Christians have this old mentality. I'm afraid to come to God. They don't say it, but their action is that they don't pray to God often. I'm not talking about length of prayer. In fact, the whole day you can be talking to God. You should be coming to God when you leave for work and say, Father, I thank you today. Your favor is all over me. I thank you, Father God, you're smiling on me when I go to work. Thank you, Father. Even when you feel lonely, sometimes you feel by yourself. You say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not alone. You're with me. And your favor is all over me. Amen, God. You're working in my life. You feel your body is not doing well or whatever. Say, Lord, I thank you that you love me so much that even right now, you're repairing, restoring, you're building my body. I just love you, Father. I know you're doing it. That kind of favor, that kind of like favor consciousness, that kind of like close to God consciousness. And you're actually coming to God all the time. In Leviticus 1, it talks about if anyone bring an offering to God, the word offering is literally the word korban, all right, in the Hebrew. And korban comes from the root that says karab, means drawing near. The word offering means drawing near in Hebrew. Are you listening? So you don't have to draw near in the sense because God is close, so close to you. But God wants you to draw near to Him. He's already drawing near to you. He wants you to draw near to Him. You know why? You don't have to be afraid today. Because it's the opposite. Let me show you. Hebrews 10. Now, where there is forgiveness, the word there is the same word for forgiveness, remission of this the sins, there's no longer an offering for sin. Do you know there's no more offering for sin? Some people are still trying to give to God the offering for sins. Confession of sin has a part in the Christian life, but you don't give it as an offering for sin. You don't sacrifice your life and say, I'll go full time, all right, to make up for my sin. God doesn't want to have it. That's not the reason. If you go full time, it's because God calls you. Amen. So there are people who are still offering sin offerings. God says, stop it. The final sin offering is my son. And whatever you do right now is a response to your love for me, for my love for you. And here it says, where there's forgiveness of this, there's no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness. So therefore is tied up with the fact there's no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. Do you see that? A new and living way. The word new in the Greek means freshly killed. It's as if Jesus just died just now. As far as God is concerned, Jesus just died just now. Because for God, there's no 2,000 years one. God doesn't live in time. God created time. God is outside time. So you got to live life as if Jesus just died just now. And live in the freshness and the reality of it. Amen? The next word, living way. You know what's living way? From the word zao, for zoe, life. Living means the more you come to God, the more your body responds. The more you live. The more you come alive, the stronger you become, the younger you get. But in the Old Testament, the more you come to God, chances are you might die. But now, the more you stay away from God, the less you talk to Him, your body is decaying. There's death out there. But the more you come to God, it's a new and living way. The more you come, the more you live. The more you come, the healthier you become. In fact, you should talk to God all day long. You should have when you drive your car and all that, you're caught in a jam, say, Father, I just thank you. Thank you for teaching me patience. And sometimes God's love translates by not giving you everything you want. Like just now, you didn't get your favorite parking lot. Amen. Father, I claim that in Jesus' name. I have the favor of God and I have the favor. All of a sudden you find that there's no car lot at all. On the very day you prayed. Why? Because God is teaching you character. And let me tell you this, only loving fathers will teach children that He loves things like this. You should feel loved when God, like for example, you pray, I don't know why I run into these kind of people on the road. then you find that on that day, you run into many of them. Do you know why? You don't know why? God is loving you. God is loving you and is building character in your life. The Bible says, tribulation worketh patience and then leads to proven character. Amen. You know, you got to have a character for your promotion. You don't have a character for your promotion can destroy you. Are you listening? You got to have a character for your exaltation. God loves you too much to promote you to a place where he'll destroy you. Or you fall into adultery. Or you leave your family. So God builds your character and he loves you. In fact, the very fact that you're disappointed in some things means God is working on character. Means he loves you. You can leave other people's children alone when they are rebellious and being naughty. You know, I don't discipline other people's children. I discipline my children. I don't discipline other people's children. So when God disciplines you, it's a compliment. Amen. See, a man, a wealthy man, like in Singapore, you have quite a number of a few billionaires, right, and they have sons. Let's say they have three sons, okay? One son is a party animal, you know, he's a playboy. The other son, he's a good son, but he's like, he doesn't have much wisdom, but he's a good guy. And the third son is a son that pleases his father. He likes his father. He believes in his father. He honors his father, honestly. He's not looking for position. He just loves his father, and his joy in carrying out his father's wishes shows that he knows why his father is asking for something. He does it with joy. Now, when the time comes to bequeath his property, and positions of responsibility to be the CEO of the company or whatever, which son will he choose? Remember, he will never disown any of them. They are his sons. The fact that you are a son, you're a son forever. Amen. All right? He cannot unson them. For those of you watching, this is not a good English being spoken right from the pulpit here, but they're always his sons, okay? But which one will he trust with positions of responsibility? The last one. Amen? The last one. Because if you trust anyone else, the first one, the party animal playboy, he's going to destroy the company. He's going to destroy his own life with the kind of wealth that he has. But you see, some things like this is in the kingdom of God. We're all saved, you know, but how much of the grace you use with the spirit of joy determines how many cities you rule in the future. The Bible says that. And places of promotion forever in heaven. You're not in heaven because of your faithfulness. You're in heaven because of what Jesus did at the cross. But your position in heaven is the grace that you use. Whether you use it or you don't use it. Amen? Go back to the hall of faith. What about Moses? Hebrews 11. Moses, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction of the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Next. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. He was reward motivated. Did he look to Jesus? But Pastor Prince, we must look to Jesus. Next verse. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And this word endured is a very special word. That means he remained the same. That's why at 120 years old, his eyesight was not dim. His natural force was not abated. Because he saw him who was invisible. And let me tell you this. People say, so what do I do? Do I look to the reward when I serve God or do I look to Jesus? It's both. Look to Jesus as the rewarder. You know there's a reward in coming to church? What is it, Pastor Prince? I don't know. For each of you, it can be something different. Amen. But you will know it. You will know it. Now, for my son, Justin, I have introduced the reward system. Okay? Like, for example, he comes back from school, from play school. I will teach him, take off his shoes, arrange them nicely one side. Take out your socks, put it inside there. All right? Then go to the washroom, wash your hands, all right? Go to the toilet and all that. At first, it was almost like one shoe down here, one shoe down there. He's playing with his stuff. Once he reached home only, you know, it's almost like he wants to start playing with his toys, right? So, no. This brother must go with this brother, okay? They must park down here. And then after a while, he starts doing it happily. One day, he came back, I mean, with a happy spirit. He took out his shoes. He was like almost humming a tune. You know, he put it down there. He went to wash his hands gladly, you know, went to the toilet. And I was there. And the mother saw the entire thing. And the mother says, you know, The mother says, Justin, you are doing things, you know, without even being told. I feel like rewarding you. And I said, Justin, get ready. A reward is coming. Okay? But of course, the entire day is asking, where's the reward? You know, can I have the reward now? All right? Abba, it'd be good for me to have the reward, you know, right now. That kind of thing, you know. And some people don't believe the reward system when it comes to parenting. But let me tell you this. Children are moved by, you know, the fear of discipline, okay, as well as motivation. Whether even the praise is a reward, you praise a child, it's still a reward, all right? Personally, I think a reward system can help the child, amen? Don't have to get him something expensive, you know, something simple, but make the child, all right, see that there's a reward for good behavior. It's okay, nothing wrong with that, amen? But I always tell Justin, when you are good, Abba loves you. When you're not naughty, Abba still loves you. At first, he was confused. All right? But now he's learned to accept that. No, that's nothing to do with reward. All right? God loves us. Whether we do right, we do wrong, God still loves us. Amen. But there's a reward for those who are obedient. Those who use the grace he gives to them. Can I have a good amen? Now, when it comes to family, children and all that, even when things go wrong, like I told you just now, you know, just have the conscience, talk to God. Don't have to get in the spiritual atmosphere. Must play hallelujah. Must have Jermaine and Adeline start saying hallelujah. You know, then you start talking to God. I think God is tired waiting for a tune to come up, you know, before you start talking to Him. And you don't talk to Him when you're in the toilet. You know, God made you and your body functions. You know, don't talk to God all the time. Because the more you talk to Him, guess what? You're drawing near and you are living. You are living. Like I said, in the Old Testament, it's the opposite. Now it's the other way. The more you stay away, the less you talk to Him, you can live a whole day and it's like blah, the whole day is empty, it's like frustrating and all that. And God is there all the time. But you need to draw near to Him. Amen? And to draw near to Him is living way. The Bible says He's a rewarder of that. Amen? Now, sometimes bad things happen, and I don't claim to know all the answers. If I know all the answers, I'm the fourth person of the Godhead, which I'm not. Okay? So I thank God I can figure God out exactly, completely. You know why? That makes me able to worship Him. I cannot worship a God I can figure out completely. Okay? So there are things that I don't understand, but I know He's a good God. I know it's not God's fault when things happen. Like what happened to Wendy and I some years ago, quite a number of years ago. Now, after we had Jessica, later on we planned for another child. But we lost that child in the sense that there was no heartbeat. Wendy went through the trial. I had my trial. We both wept, cried. It wasn't an easy time. Some of you know what we're talking about. It's not an easy time. We look forward to this child. Found out it was a female, all right, a girl. And I was, after seeing Jessica, I was looking forward. Why not, you know? But then, just with raw faith, not that I feel it, not that my emotions were in line with it, but I just told God, God, you're a good God. I don't understand all that has happened. And I know that to ask why is a downward spiral into depression. All right? But I just say, God, and I know God is not behind it. Okay, one day in heaven, I know everything. But I know that God is a good God. Hey, God, I trust you, Lord. Okay? I know that, and that's when God taught me more about the principles of restoration. And God, I won't give up, Lord. I still believe that you want us to have a child. Amen. Even though we were quite discouraged in the sense, you know, it can happen to anyone. So we started talking to God out of pure, raw, no emotion, unemotional, raw, extra virgin faith. Talking to God with no emotion. Say, you're a good God. You have someone in store for us. A child, Lord, that will be a champion. So meanwhile, I started taking communion. And Wendy is okay with a boy or a girl, but I started asking God for a boy. All right? And I asked God for a champion boy. I asked God for a sevenfold. You know, David lost a child. And David said this, he cannot come to me, but one day I'll go to him. All children that are stillborn, whatever it is, they're all growing up in heaven. In fact, they are in a much better place than any of us, any children down here on this side of heaven. They're all growing up there. And one day you'll see that. Amen. And I'm telling you, they can never be disappointed. They can never be hurt, not even a scratch. So your child is still alive. And one day I'll see her. In fact, she's probably primary school age, I think. You know, she's there, learning from the best. So I started believing God, went together with Wendy. Wendy didn't give up, you know. We started believing God. And David, his next child was who? Solomon. Of all the wives he had, the one that he lost the baby with, Bathsheba, was the very one that the next child was a sevenfold return. It was Solomon. Of all the sons of David, God chose Solomon to succeed him. My next child was, you all know, Justin. Amen. And I'm prejudiced. You all know that. You can tell by the way I talk about him and all that. But he's quite amazing. He started being able to read his books, reading his books at the age of 3. All right. Nearly 3, actually. And loves reading. Now he loves Chinese. You know, he asked the mother to read to him in Chinese. Every night, one of the rituals that we do before Wendy starts reading to him Bible stories and all that, he and I, I'll bring my phone and you know what he does? There's a lot of like kids play, right? Apps and all that on the phone for kids. Now, he does play kid stuff, okay? I mean, funny stuff and all, during the daytime. Okay, he does play on the iPad. But at night, he always chooses, for some reason, he chooses IQ games. And games that use the mind. Like, of all the things that he had, I actually chose that for myself. To stir my brain, exercise my brain. Because sometimes my brain, I feel a lot of cobwebs. You know, moving slowly. Don't laugh, Gabriel. Sometimes I think we are both in the same boat. But not as bad as Pastor Mark, don't you think so? He loves IQ games. Of all the games down there, they are funny, you know, childish games, children games and all that. But he likes IQ games. He loves playing Wheel of Fortune. You know, he loves getting the money, but he doesn't know everything, all the words in the Wheel of Fortune. So he said, Abba, what word? Quick. Then he was facing the word. You know, when he wins, yeah, he's happy. All right. So I think there's something special about this child. I do not know everything. I'm a prejudiced father, you know. But what I'm saying is that whatever you have lost, God will reward you if you have a good attitude. Keep a good attitude. Trust that He is a good God. Trust that His favor is all over you. I don't understand everything, Father, that you've done, that's happened in my life. I know it's not your fault, God. I know you love me. I know you love my family. Talk to Him like that. I know someone better is coming. A better child. Amen. Are you listening, people? Talk to God like this. Even when something happens, you are stuck in a traffic jam and all that, and or you always find that you're being overtaken by a grandmother that cuts in front of you, and you know, and she doesn't signal and all that. Have you noticed that when you tell God to deliver from such things, more of them come? All right, and then you need to stop and sometimes and say, God, you're doing something right because you love me. You are building this character of endurance in me. And we all need endurance, people. Look at this, Hebrews 10. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So in the Christian life, there's a place of endurance. All right, it's not a matter of, well, okay, God, I believe you. Where is it? Amen? But start believing God that good things are going to happen to you because God is a good God. God takes care of you. Once in a while, if you are sick, for example, it's good to tell God before you start praying for healing. Start telling God, God, you want me to be healthy more than I want to be healthy. Amen. Start saying that to Him a number of times because it pleases God when you have that kind of faith. Do you know the Bible says in 3 John 2, I desire above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your souls prosper. That's God talking. God wants you to be in health. So tell God, you want me to be in health more than I want to be in health. Amen. I thank you. You're the kind of God. I just love you. Thank you so much, Lord. Even that prayer is healing. Can I have a good amen? Let me share you a story about family blessing still. And sometimes it confuses people, but actually there's no confusion. You can actually marry the two, the truths. Psalms 127. Behold, look, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Now, children are a heritage from the Lord. Yet the fruit of the womb is a reward. Now, heritage and reward are two opposite things. When you receive something because you inherit, It's got nothing to do with whether you're good or bad. Inherit means you got it by bestowal. Amen. Your father gave it to you. Your grandfather gave it to you. Someone died and just gave it to you or whatever. You receive it by grace, actually. Amen. Are you listening, people? So, children are a heritage from the Lord. It's your blood-bought inheritance. Amen. A man gives to his sons his inheritance, all right, good or bad. He won't give to his servant who is, you know, almost like conscientious in his labors and, you know, very polite, very good a servant, very mature, right? 50 years old, but his son is only 18 years old. No, the man's going to give to his son. Right? That's called inheritance. So are children an inheritance or are they a reward? Both. And some people say, it's either or. No, you can marry both. In fact, God gives you the grace. Amen. And then when you obey the grace, He rewards you. It's both. Let me give you an example from the Bible. Very interesting. Amen. The story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings 4. Now it happened one day that Elisha, the successor to Elijah, the prophet, he's also a prophet himself. In fact, he performed exactly twice the miracles of Elijah. One day he came to this town of Shunam where there was a notable woman and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Okay? Please let us make a small upper room." She asked her husband, "Let us make a small upper room on the wall. Let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, Elisha said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call the Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you?'" I want to announce to you that there are people in our church. I've seen them take care of men of God that come in, you know, down through the years and all that. And I see their families getting blessed. It seems like a family blessing. They receive a prophet's reward. I've seen it happen, people, my own eyes. I can name names here. Amen. And he says, "You've been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" She answered, "I dwell among my own people." She's not interested in being named to all the VBIPs and all that. And then the servant said something to him. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." Not too long ago,